Today, apropos, we're actually talking about kids. So in Awana, this is exactly how it goes. It's very scattered, even though we try our best. So I think God has that as an object lesson today. Well, raise your hand if you have ever been a boy or a girl kid growing up. Okay, 75% of you were kids. I think the other 25%, then you won't get anything out of this message. Do we have any resident expert 8-year-olds here? Miss Twyla, yes. Well, you'll correct me if I mess up anything about 8-year-olds. But today we are talking about a little boy named Josiah, who was Twyla's age. And something interesting happened to Josiah. Does anybody know? Yes, very good, Margaret. He became king at age 8. So his terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day happened when his dad happened to be killed by his servants. Very weird, but when he was 8, he became king. So do you remember, as adults, those that were kids before, do you remember when you were 8 years old? Let's go back to 8 years old. There we go. Do you remember what you thought? Was it mostly school and playing and sleeping and dealing with your brothers or sisters? That's how it was for me. We played marbles. That was fun. We played soccer. And I know, like, Twyla, she goes on hikes and stuff. So as an 8-year-old, you're in second grade, and you might like to do fun and exciting stuff. But Josiah, he had to do things that were not fun and exciting. Well, how would you feel then if you had to become king or queen at that time? Do you think you would be very smart? Twyla, could you rule the world? No, you'd do a good job, but it'd probably be pretty tough. Well, there are three types of people. There are those that are like rowboats, and the only way for them to move is they have to be pushed somewhere. Then there are those that are like sailboats. The only way they can move is when the wind shifts them. So every single time the wind changes, they shift the direction they're going. But then there's a third type of person. They're the ones that are called steamships, or battleships, or normal ships, and they go under their own power. They don't go to the right or to the left, but they keep going exactly where they mean to go. And Josiah, he said that he doesn't go to the right or the left. He follows God the whole time. And he's a lot like the steamship. So we're going to learn about how to be a steamship today and about something called the Lost Book. So I'd like to pray before we get going. Jesus, thank you for helping us through this time. Thank you for redeeming it and allowing us to conquer technology. Help it to be used for your kingdom, for us to grow and learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, in order to not go to the right or left, you have to have something to know you're deviating from. And that is through the word obedience. And Adventures in Odyssey, it's made by folks on the family, has a very short but good clip that relates what Moses had to go through with the Israelites, teaching them about obeying God. And Lord willing, it'll work as well.
Hear me, people of God.
Speak to us, Moses.
Okay, here are the basic rules. 10 commandments that we have to follow. And then I've got a few supplemental books about relationships, hygiene, things like that, but I'll get to those later. Anyway, we have to follow these rules. And
excuse me there, Moes.
What is it, Shlemiel?
I'm not into rules, man.
What?
I mean, in the long run, what are rules but one person imposing on another? It's not my trip, man.
But these are from God.
Yeah, I can dig it, but you know, what if I'm not interested in rules?
Look, Shlemiel, we've got a lot of people taking a long trip across the wilderness to the promised land, so it's simple. Follow these rules, you live. Disobey them, you'll die. There's no other way.
You're so black and white, man.
Hey, you got a better plan.
Well, I just figured we'd, you know, hang out and kind of do our own thing while we wander around, you know?
Yeah, you can try that if you want.
Cool. Water. Water. I need water. And just a little food, maybe? I must have left mine in my other coat. Anybody have a few crumbs? You know, maybe a little sunscreen or something? Can anybody help out? Well, I got this rash, you see, and... maybe I'd better talk to Moses about those rules again.
You see, in the Old Testament, Israel was a nation fighting for its very existence in a wild and brutal country. Direct obedience to God and His laws was vital, because to disobey was sometimes the difference between life and death.
Okay, so now we have a central thing that we can't go to the right or to the left of, and that's called God's Word, or the rules that God gives us. And for the Israelites, those were found in the Ten Commandments, or the first five books called the Pentateuch. Now, what is going on here when Josiah starts to become king at age 8? There's actually a lot of wickedness that his dad and his grandfather have done. And for that to show you visually, there is another clip, but this one's from a kid's show called Theo.
God's word can never be hidden. When King Amon ruled in Judah, it was a very dark time in Israel's history. He was a wicked king, even more so than his father, King Manasseh. And both kings displeased the Lord very much. Like his father, King Amon disobeyed God's word by worshiping false gods made of wood and stone instead of the one true God of Israel. The priests in Judah were wicked also, worshiping the false gods of the Canaanites. Neither did they worship God in the temple of Jerusalem, as he had commanded them. But instead, they worshipped in various high places where God had strictly forbidden them to worship. The Bible tells us that the temple had long been abandoned and had fallen into ruin. God had commanded that the temple be the center of worship for his people, a place where he would display his glory, as he had done centuries earlier when King Solomon first built the temple. But King Amon and the religious leaders of his day did not follow God's word. Instead, they discarded it in one of the rooms in the temple, no longer finding it necessary. In time, God's word was completely forgotten. Yes, it was a very dark time.
So you see, once Israel wanted a king, remember God said that you shouldn't have a king, but he gave in to their demands to have a king. Saul was okay for a little while, but then he turned to wickedness. David was good. He had his own problems. Solomon was good, but he made idols for his wives to worship. Remember, he had 600 wives. Lots of sister wives. So all of these on the high places, they were on hills and other places that they would worship. All of these stayed throughout all of the kings. Sometimes they were torn down, but they were always made again. So this man, Josiah's grandfather, his name was Manasseh, and he was in charge of this lower kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, where Jerusalem was. And then to the north was the kingdom of Israel. I know we always say Israel when we think of the whole nation, but as the kings started to split, the nation split. So the kingdom of Israel was so wicked that God took them away about 120 years before Josiah became king. So they were in exile. They were taken by this people called the Assyrians. because of their wickedness. God promised that it would happen, and it happened. Now the kingdom of Judah, they were going to do the same thing. The guy, his grandfather, his name was Manasseh. And he was so wicked that he actually sacrificed his own son to one of the gods. That's pretty wicked. Josiah's dad only ruled for 2 years because of his wickedness, or whatever. The servants killed him. So you can see, where is Josiah going to get his understanding from? Is his understanding going to come from his dad or his granddad? And if so, will he turn out wicked just like them? Manasseh became king at age 12. Josiah at age 8. Manasseh was wicked. Josiah is not. So what's the difference? Well, the difference is because God surrounded him with people that wanted to obey him. And this is our second and final media clip that hopefully David will be able to get going to show what about Josiah. Thanks, David.
After the death of wicked King Haman, his 8-year-old son Josiah was made king over Judah. The Bible says that King Josiah did what was right in the sight of God. Even as a boy, he wanted to serve God with all his might, just as his ancestor King David had done before him. When he was a young man, he began to tear down the high places that his father had built, and he burned the idols of false worship. When he was 26 years old, Josiah commanded that the temple be restored and that worship of the one true God resume. The priests and workmen immediately began working to bring the temple back to its former beauty. They carried out the idols left there by the false priests that ministered under Josiah's wicked father. They restored the furniture in the holy place and the altar in the outer court of the temple. During the time of restoration, Hilkiah, the high priest, discovered an amazing treasure, one that had been hidden for many years. The book of the law of Moses that had been lost and forgotten was found. When Hilkiah read the lost book to Josiah, the king was greatly distressed and tore his garments. He realized that Judah had not obeyed God's word for many years, and that because of it, God was very displeased with his people. Josiah obeyed everything written in the book of the law. He completely drove out the false priests and their idols of wood and stone, cleansing the land from religious practices that God hated. He also reinstituted the Passover and celebrated it like no other king before him or after him. The Bible says that there was no king in Israel like Josiah, neither before him nor after him. For Josiah turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to the word of God.
Well, our passage is found in 2 Kings chapter 22 and 23. If you want to turn there, we won't read every single verse. And there's actually a parallel passage in 2 Chronicles 34 and 35. And it's kind of cool because it gives it from a different perspective. From the king's perspective, 2 Kings, it's from the geographical summary, meaning the area in which it happened is what they're writing for. Now, in 2 Chronicles 34 and 35, it tells you the chronological summary, meaning the years it happened. So it's cool because they give you two different sides of the exact same thing that happened. It's a lot. It doesn't mean it's wrong. It's a lot like the Chronicles of Narnia. You know the Chronicles of Narnia, right? Okay. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe came out first. And if you are a purist, you read it with the release date order. Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe has to come first. But if you look at the books themselves in the chronological order, The Magician's Nephew comes first. It's all the same story, but different perspectives. That's how it is for 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, how we can get some more information about what's happening to Josiah. Well, he was the king at age 8, and that's pretty young. At age 16, it's said that he turns to God fully with heart and soul and strength. So then we wonder, what happened between 8 and 16? Well, I kind of think that his guardians and even the people that were alive at that time helped him learn about God. Did you know that Jeremiah the prophet, Zephaniah the prophet, maybe Habakkuk the prophet, and Nahum the prophet were all alive during Josiah's time? And the prophet Jeremiah even wrote about him in Jeremiah 15, I believe. So I wonder if they helped teach him about God. Josiah's great-grandfather, his name was Hezekiah, he actually loved God with all his heart. And so he had his story too. This kind of is comforting to me, because if you have a parent that is not a good example, does not lead you to God, does not help you to understand what is right and wrong, it doesn't doom you to not doing what's right. You can still turn to God with everything that you have and serve him. And even as an 8-year-old, growing up, you can say, yes, I choose to serve God. And Josiah, he changed a whole nation because of it. Well, Pastor John Corson, he says about this thing that Josiah, he didn't turn to the right or to the left. He says it's a lot like whitewater, not rafting, but canoeing. And what a river guide told him one time, he said that the secret of whitewater canoeing is to stay in the tongue or the center of the whitewater or the river, because there are currents to the right and to the left that ultimately lead to a cracked canoe. So Josiah knew that if you go to the right a little too much, or you go to the left a little too much, you start to get pulled into the undercurrent. Now, to put it to something we just heard, if you allow something to sit for so long, sin starts to seep in, kind of like rust because of a water softener not working. It starts to do it a little bit over time. You're just moving a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right, but you're not staying online with what God has. So Josiah, he didn't do that. He said, okay, I'm following God with all my heart and my soul and strength. Well, what happened? He did this without ever hearing God's word. He probably heard from people that served God. But it wasn't until Hilkiah, the high priest, found this scroll. When Josiah, at the age of 26, sent out men to go take care of the temple, to rebuild it. The temple is the house of God. And within it, as they were doing that, the high priest found this scroll called the Book of the Law. It had been lost for at least 57 years. And I kind of wonder if another high priest hid it to keep it safe from getting destroyed. Well, Hilkiah, he finds this and he gives it to the king's secretary, and he goes and he reads it, and then he reads it to Josiah. Well, I know I said it in an email, but it's intriguing that the word of God was lost in the house of God. But in a sense, this happens even nowadays. Churches meet, but there's no emphasis on studying or knowing the scriptures, and as a result, the word is lost in just what we do. Ritual or liturgy. So we can be surrounded by the Bible. We can have it in front of our seats, but without actually reading it, putting it to heart, it makes no difference. Well, when it was read to him, it was like the first time, and it probably was the very first time. And what he did as it was reading to him, he realized the wickedness that Judah had done before God. Israel had already done it, and they'd lost their place in the kingdom. Not God's kingdom, but physical kingdom. And now Judah was following the same course. So it caused him to rip his clothes, which is a sign of being sad or extreme sadness. He realized that what they had done before God was wicked. So what Josiah did, and remember, he's still young. He's actually 26 at this point. He gathered up his leaders, and he told them to go see the prophetess, Huldah. And you know, there's Jeremiah the prophet, Zephaniah the prophet, Habakkuk the prophet, Nahum the prophet. They didn't go to any of those, but they went to this lady who God used as a prophetess to hear from him. It's unique how God uses different people at different times by the gifting of his Holy Spirit. So they go to this lady, and she hears from God, and she says what's going on. She actually says that Judah will be destroyed. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It will be gone. And the reason is found in Deuteronomy 28, 58 through 64, which I have on the screen, but I will read. This is God speaking to the nation of Israel. If you do not carefully follow all the words of the law, which are written in the book, and do not revere this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, the Lord will send fearful plagues on you and your descendants, harsh and prolonged disasters and severe and lingering illnesses. He will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt that you dreaded, and they will cling to you. The Lord will also bring on you every kind of sickness and disaster not recorded in the book of the law until you are destroyed. You were as numerous as the stars in the sky, will be left but few in number, because you did not obey the Lord your God. Just as it pleased the Lord to make you prosper and increase in number, so it will please him to ruin and destroy you. You will be uprooted from the land you are entering to possess. Then the Lord will scatter you among all nations, from one end of the earth to the other. There you will worship other gods, gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your fathers have known. But the prophetess said, because you have humbled yourself before God, he will keep this disaster from happening during your lifetime. You will die in peace. And what happened? God kept his promise. This was prophecy, meaning it's a foretelling. And 11 and a half years later, Judah was taken into captivity. Babylon took them over. So God kept his word, but God also kept his word to Josiah. And I kind of think that Josiah, he turned to God knowing that, yeah, I'm going to be okay, but maybe I can get other people to think about God too. Maybe they can turn to God. So Josiah, he reads the book of the law to the people. And when he does that, he makes a covenant with God. Verse 3 of chapter 23 says, "The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and keep his commands, regulations, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in the book." And then it's kind of not an aside, but it says, "Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant." Well, 2 Chronicles says that the people were kind of forced to agree to it. And what this tells me is that even though Josiah was leading in a good, godly way, the people's hearts weren't changed. They had heard from God's word, but their hearts were still hard. They didn't care about what was being said. They would rather have done whatever was evil in the sight of God. Could you see one of our leaders reading from God's word and making a covenant before God? I know, I think our founding fathers were believers in God, if not Christians. Yes, we aren't a Christian nation, but we were founded by people that believe in a maker. Would we have someone that's willing to say, okay, we have sinned before you, God? I don't think so. But that's where we come in as the church. We can pray and petition God and say, God, America has sinned. We have done many things against you, and we're completely sorry. God's judgment will still stay, but sometimes he defers his judgment in order for more people to come to him. Well, then, after he reads this scroll, he actually tells the people to go out and destroy the idols, the false gods that were made. And really, this started when he was 20 years old. It kind of finished when he was 26. So what happened? They went out and they started to take care of the temple. In God's house, there were lots and lots of evil things that the kings had put there. Lots of evil idols, evil people. And all of this was infiltrating God's house. It would be kind of like us bringing in some really bad stuff and just letting it happen. But Josiah knew that that wasn't God-honoring. So he cleared it out. He also had them go and chop down all the idols that were all throughout his nation. So from the north to the south of that nation of Judah, he took it down. Well, it actually said he went up to a place called Bethel. And Bethel, you see that it's in the yellow part? He's the king of Judah. And this is, Bethel is in Israel. You can't see it on this, but the nation that's to the right and a little higher is called the Assyrian Empire. They were in control of Israel. But at this time, they had weakened because they were being fought by the Babylonians, the ones that were going to take over Judah. And so they were weak. So Josiah was able to go up to Israel and to wipe out this place called Bethel. And Bethel's unique because 300 years before, the king Jeroboam made a golden calf, a golden cow for the people to worship there. And that time, a man of God prophesied. He told him that this was going to happen. A man named Josiah is going to come, and he's going to tear down everything you have done. And Josiah, maybe not even knowing this would happen, he goes to Bethel and tears it all down. And the prophecy was fulfilled with what happened there. Then after all that is done, then he starts Passover again. And it's interesting because it says that Passover was never celebrated like this since the day of the judges. I looked in the rest of Kings and whatnot, and actually a lot of kings did celebrate Passover. So is this a lie? Or what can be the understanding? Well, the reason that it's put in there is because it was never celebrated just like Moses had required since the day of the judges. So Josiah looked at the book of the law that he just found, and he followed the Passover step by step, just like it should have been done. Josiah, he threw out all the rest of the evil people, and he tried to redeem his kingdom for God. He only, for 31 years, he's on the throne, and he's finally killed by the Egyptian pharaoh, Necho. So he doesn't get to do this for long. He has it for 13 years after the temple's restored that the nation of Israel technically, or nation of Judah, was technically following God. But regardless, Josiah tried to make a difference. Verse 25 of chapter 23 says, "Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength in accordance with the law of Moses." I think I really like that. But when it says, "Neither before nor after was there a king like Josiah," it makes me think, okay, were the kings before or after wicked? And we only have to go to his great-grandfather, Hezekiah, who did right in God's eyes. So if you wanted to write it down, 2 Kings 18, verse 5, it actually says, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. Now the clincher is verse 6. He held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses. Now in another translation, it says that he had trusted the Lord fully. For Hezekiah, his trust for the Lord was the thing that made him different than all the other kings. For Josiah, his turning from what was evil to God with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his strength was what made him different than all the kings before and after. So you see, two times that we think, okay, Scripture, you just lied. We find that, no, it didn't. There's just more to the story. We have to kind of dig into it. And that's the interesting and exciting part. Well, Josiah, he dies. And raise your hand if you think his kids were good. Okay, raise your hand if you think his kids turned out bad. Okay? The ones that raised their hands for if it was bad, you're right. So his son, the first one that became king, he ruled for 3 whole months. 3 months. And then that Pharaoh that killed Josiah, Pharaoh Necho, he comes and he captures him, takes him to Egypt, and he actually eventually just dies in Egypt. So Pharaoh Necho, he puts the second brother as king. And he is in charge for 11 years. And he does evil before God. It is during his reign, 11 and a half years after Josiah, the good king, that Judah falls. God keeps his promise, and indeed, they are taken away. So then the principle for us as parents, yes, we don't have to be like our parents. We can be redeemed. We can follow God. But if we don't teach our kids about God, who will? If the world teaches them about God, then they're going to have a really skewed view of God. So our point as a responsibility is to teach them about God, to tell them about how much he loves them and wants obedience. And it's not like switching your head off obedience. It's looking at things and saying, okay, you say this. I might not know the reason now, but I'll follow it. And then God sometimes helps us understand. There are then two things you can take away. And the first one is specifically for those that are young. I remember when I was young, I did what I could to follow God and help people and things like that. And people would look down on you because you're just a kid. Well, that's great. You're just doing what your parents wanted you to do. You're just loving people because you have to. But that's not true. I would say that if you love God and you want to tell God you love him, you choose when you're really young to say, okay, God, I'm going to follow you. Every step that I make, I'm going to say, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would God want me to do in this? Josiah started to do it. He was 8, and then 16, and 26, and he changed a whole nation. So if you say, I'm going to follow God, you might be able to change a whole nation. God might have some awesome stuff for you. Well, in 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for believers in speech, in love, in life, and in purity. So then my encouragement is, be strong. You guys are good. That's why I like working with you at Awana and having you up here, because I learn a lot. But God can do pretty awesome things through you. And then the second thing is, we have to let God's word change us, to transform us. That book of the law, God's word, was lost for years and years. And it was only until they were cleaning up the temple that they found it again. the reforms or the things that Josiah did to change the nation, remember, it didn't change their hearts because they went back to being evil. But I'm positive it changed some people. We have to, when we read the Bible, when we see things, especially about how it's our sin that put Jesus on the cross, it's that we were the ones that killed him because of what we have done. That should humble us to the point to realize that, God, why would you bother with me? Why would you sacrifice all that for me? To love me? That should bring us to a point where we say, God, please change me. So it's saying the word of God is important. Don't let it be dusty. Or if you only use digital devices, make it be the one that you use the most. Put it at your very first screen so you can pull it up. Let it change your life. Be humble and ask God what he has for you. Many sermons are given on this lost book, reminding us that an unread Bible is a great loss today. So Josiah, he obeyed God fully, and he did it when he was a kid. And he followed all the way through to adulthood. So those of us that said we were kids growing up, and those of us that did not say we were ever kids, God still wants us to follow him. And instead of a rowboat and a sailboat who move with the winds or have to be pushed to go a certain way, God wants us to be a steamship that is under his power, can go the exact direction he has for us. Let's pray. God, thank you for Josiah and for what he did at least to try to bring the kingdom back around. Help us to be able to be like him, to be controlled not by the shifting winds of culture or politics or what people think is right or wrong, but to be able to follow you and the power you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.